When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
And we're hanging with the boats. It's a Dukes and Bell guys. We are live at the Boat Show, the Atlanta Boat Show, presented by Progressive here at the World Congress Center, Hall B, as in boat. And there's 400 of them for you to check out. And again, who's down here? Bo Johnson from the Middays from Andy Randy. He's going to be hosting a lot of the shenanigans tonight, giving away some big prizes. They've got a cornhole tournament. Talked about tickets for the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, I should say. So come on down. They'll be here till Sunday, by the way, with all the shenanigans. If you're looking to get in the boating market. Big, crazy weekend. Our boss, Mike Conti, had a conversation with Arthur Blank. We're going to play that for you, 420. He only did about a half hour. Now, if you've heard Arthur Blank speak, you know, it generally goes anywhere from 30 to 40. To sometimes it goes on. It's 90 minutes, and Arthur goes on and on. This one was only about 30 minutes at the Arthur Blank Family Foundation in Buckhead. Tell you what Arthur had to say in a second. But as Mike Conti also told us, you know, off the air, last 72 hours, Carl, just been bananas. You know, you got coaches getting fired.
Yeah.
You find out Matt Ryan's coming into management. And then Trae Young, you know, who's been here since 18, is now on his way to D.C. So just a bananas kind of weekend. More reaction, more of your phone calls about Trae as well.
Yeah, the Trae Young thing, it's funny because as galvanizing or as polarizing, should I say, that he has been, because I think Zach Klein said it best, man. You either were or maybe still are, because if you supported him, you're going to.
Right.
Look, I don't dislike Trae. I thought he handled some situations the way I didn't necessarily thought he should have as a star in the face of the franchise. But you're rooting for him, Mike,
right?
Or maybe you're not, right? And you kind of felt that way, like you wanted him to fail here just to say, "Hey, I told you so," which makes no sense. Because when a guy's on our teams, we want him to win, and even though you know it always wasn't you know peachy, I still want to see guys succeed. But now that he's not here, it's almost like everybody who was rooting against him went, "Hey, I told you that wasn't going to work."
Right.
And it sucks from that standpoint, because what we hoped was Trae was going to be the guy to ultimately be one of the big pieces to lead us to a championship. And now we know that's not going to happen. But I just think, like, if there was ever pressure on this front office, because I told you guys this a few days ago, Travis Slink wanted to do this a few years ago, and they wouldn't let him. And then he got let go. So if there's ever pressure on a front office now to really succeed, and you know, Anse Soleil, I do like what Mike, the moves he's made and what he's done, but this is one off season. I got to see what else he does, and I got to see what other things he does, because Mike, he could bring in some other mistakes that may set us back. Bringing in AD, I don't know if that's the answer.
Right. Like Anthony Davis's injury history, everybody, the casual fan knows what that's about. So, I mean, I don't want to have Anthony Davis come here wear a suit, you know, until, like, you know, right to the playoffs.
Correct.
You know, the thing right now is, and I think the bigger picture is, and maybe this is the case, maybe it isn't. We played the audio of Nikhil Alexander-Walker saying that he came here to Atlanta in part because of Trae, but was there some kind of, like, waiting for the other shoe to drop? I asked you yesterday. So now they can, all right, now we know what the team is. Let's get on with it. So when does Quinn Snyder kick this thing into gear? When does this thing take off? It's now Jalen Johnson's team.
Let's go.
Naw and Jalen Johnson are going for 30 a night.
Let's go.
You know, and McCollum will be, I guess, you know, McCollum's a good piece for as long as he's here. Porzingis may or may not be here by the deadline. But I want to see Quinn Snyder do something with this thing. Because right now we're in the same damn boat. We're in a play-in.
Yeah, we are. That news is still front and center, guys, and we're talking about it with you at 404-726-0929. Mike, just real quick. Because we're going to hear from Mike Conti coming up, his one-on-one exclusive with Arthur Blank, where Arthur admits, we got the wrong coach. And he's talking about Ra. He respects Ra. Mm. He thinks he's a great, you know, people person with the players. But the things that matter, communication, accountability, we did not have it. And so our owner is finally admitting as much, and you'll hear that in the interview with Mike Conti here in about 6 minutes. But your thoughts – just a synopsis, because we're going to dive in deeper at 5 o'clock, because there's a lot that I feel like I learned today, guys, that I haven't heard from the owner. What did you think?
Well, I'm still a little fuzzy on how this what's new and different about how we're going to approach this after what you've been doing for the last, you know, 15, 20 years. You know, you're going to have a team president. It's no longer Rich McKay. It may be Matt Ryan. All right, so is Matt going to breathe some life and some fresh air and some new ideas? And basically, when things aren't working, call it? I mean, I said to Carl today, I think nothing with Arthur saying, I believe in Michael Penix Jr. I don't need Arthur making the pronouncement. He's the franchise quarterback. He may not be the franchise quarterback. He may be Mitchell Trubisky. He may be Trey Lance. We don't know what this guy is. He may be the man. He may be the guy that's going to be here like Matt Ryan was for 13 years. But let the new football people evaluate Michael Penix Jr. and see what he is. To me, I don't need that. You know, I think we're going to bring people in, and we'll take a look at Michael Penix, and we'll look at the offense and see if he fits. And are you? So in other words, you're telling me a coach comes in here, or a GM, Carl, a candidate, he doesn't maybe believe in the viability of Penix. He doesn't get the job because the owner's already said he's our franchise quarterback?
Well, look.
Perception is reality.
I think, to your point, Mike, if – and again, he's not been hired. But if Matt is the guy and he believes what the owner believes, the answer is no.
Right.
The answer to what your question is no.
Right.
Day-Day comes in to interview. You're Arthur Blank. Right. I'm Matt Ryan. He's better looking than I am. And I go, Mr. Blank, I believe what you believe.
Right.
I do like our quarterback, and guess what? We need to hire a coach that can develop him. And Blank goes, perfect, because that's what I believe. And Day-Day comes in for the job, and we go, what do you think about our young quarterback? Guys, I watched him last year. I don't like him. To your point yesterday. Next!
That's it. Yeah.
Next!
And by the way, is a coaching candidate going to come and say, well, with all due respect, Mr. Blank, I want a dual threat quarterback. That's the way the NFL is going these days. I need a guy that can run, pick him up, and put him down. So that's, you know, but that's, and I would ask you, you know, how can you improve Michael Penix Jr.? He struggled with this. He struggled with that. Do you think, you know, see, a real question for me is, can you fix Michael Penix Jr., the things that need to be fixed?
Yes.
Not for the owner to sit there and go, hey, he's my franchise quarterback. I don't like that.
Okay.
I said on my Twitter page, maybe it's semantics, but I don't know.
All right, fair enough. And by the way, again, the thing, and we'll dive into this at 5 o'clock a little bit deeper. You can join the conversation, guys. But when he says this, again, it's called Sportsology, that when Sportsology interviewed 30 people in the building, including Terry and Ra, but not the coaching staff, and you got to think about this. That's a smart way. What would the coaching staff say about guys that hired them? Mm-hmm. So you're randomly interviewing people in the building, and you come back with this report that communication and accountability were an issue? And I know, Mike, we've said, well, how the hell does Arthur not know that? Because he's not in the day-to-day operations. I know you guys think that Arthur Blank's just sitting in this big king's chair at Flowery Branch like he's, you know, the head of Game of Thrones and, like, waiting for everybody. He's not doing that. Guys, he owns the PGA Superstore. He's got ranches in Montana. He's got the Falcons, Atlanta United, Mike. He's about to start a new soccer team, a women's soccer team. Like, you start talking about all these things, and I don't even know all the stuff he's involved with, but this AMB group is huge. He's got other crap to worry about. And this NFL thing, which is why Mike and I have said, hire NFL people. Let them do the job, right? Let the people that you hire trust them to do the job. He's done that. But the problem is he's gotten it wrong. And now he's saying, let me remove myself even a little bit further and have this president, whoever that's going to be, do this job of guidance and accountability. And I think that is what the fundamental difference is going to be. And if you're telling me, well, Dukes, Bell, is this the reason why we haven't been winning? Yeah. Yes.
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 But that's why, I mean, it just gives you pause. It was like that CBS Sports article. This is before Arthur Blank spoke, which, by the way, a lot of guys expected more today. It's a league mandate.
It is.
If you're out of the playoffs, there's X amount of days. You have a press conference. So that's something we all learned today in 2026. So that's why. So, no, he wasn't going to have Matt side by side. A lot of folks were thinking Matt was going to burst in and go, hey, I'm here. I'm ready. That's not the case. So the process will continue.
Coming soon.
And now we're in the mix. We're going to talk to all the we talked about Robert Saleh's been added to the list. They've got to talk to Harbaugh. You know, we've already talked about the request for Kubiak and some of these things. You know, they may have already been speaking. Maybe Arthur cut it short to go do an interview with somebody.
Yeah, man. Commanders OC Cliff Kingsbury was requested to interview for the head coaching position with the Ravens and the Titans. So, again, these candidates that are out there, and these are, again, qualified guys that have been fired elsewhere. Some of these guys will end up in other jobs. Some won't. And I'll say this. All these head coaches will not be head coaches again. This isn't going to be just the shell game, Mike, where all of a sudden you and all of a sudden, all these head coaches that just got fired are going to be head coaches. Some of these guys are going to go back to being coordinators. And some of these guys are just going to be coordinators. All of them are not going to get head coaching jobs. And some team, by the way, is going to be Jacksonville. They're going to take a chance on somebody who nobody is really saying, I don't know if he's ready yet, because that's what we were saying about Leon Cohen. And all of a sudden, he's got Jacksonville with a 13-4 record and in a position to maybe go to the Super Bowl. 404-726-0929.
I got a nasty gram. You want to hear it?
Uh-oh. Somebody's coming at you?
This is from Keep Going, Braves. He goes, you, me, may be the only idiot who doesn't understand the Penix situation. First, you tried to spin it as he won't be ready. Then you tried to challenge his ability. Well, no, I never did any of that. First, so get your facts straight. All we're saying now is there was good, bad, and ugly in the 14 games going back to last season that Michael Penix played in.
It was.
And now they've got to fix him getting under center. They got to improve third down efficiency. And if they can do that, he can be a franchise quarterback. But right now, you, me, Arthur Blank, with all due respect, can't definitively say he's going to be able to do all these things. So until we know, and you can look into your crystal ball and say he's going to bounce back from the knee surgery and be better than ever. I don't know. I'm not saying he can't. I'm just saying we don't know what we've got with Michael Penix Jr., period. And that's why I'm saying don't say otherwise if you're Arthur Blank.
What game, Mike, I'm looking back, and I apologize because there's so much going on. Was it the Panthers game he got hurt? What game? Seattle? Panthers?
Yeah,
yeah, I'm talking about Penix.
Yeah.
Because if you guys remember, maybe you don't, because we're up at Flowery every week and we talk to Ra. Ra said to us, and again, I know many of you think he's full of crap. But there is some things that he said that if you watch and you paid attention, he was telling you what was really going on, even though the team was not having success like we thought. And one of the things he said, Mike, in that game was, I felt like Penix was about to take the next step. He had a great week of practice. Like, there had been a couple of weeks leading up to that. And he told us, like, he's coming, man. Like, he was about to start. Like, we were going to be, like, wowed, I think, is how he described it. And we'll never know. And then you miss Saints, you know, Jets, Seahawks, Bucks, Cardinals. Like, you missed half the season now, and we don't know if that was going to be the case. But the coaching staff was feeling that way. Like, Michael Penix is feeling like he's about to take the next step. The irony to me, Mike, is I guess he was going to do it without play action because we still weren't running play action the way we did with Kirk Cousins.
Right. Look, Penix Jr. is going to have to learn to play under center. He's got to be able to do that. If he can't do that, he's no good. That's a fact. All right, now, unless somebody else comes in.
You're yelling at that guy?
Yeah. Well, I'd call him a fanboy. I'm like, okay, fanboy. Yeah, man, it's like, look, I don't – you guys get so personal about this stuff. You know what I mean? We don't know what Penix Jr. is. I hope he's the man. I hope he's going to be the guy for 10 years. But now three knee surgeries, two on one, one on another. That ain't great, Carl.
It's not. All right, man. What did Arthur Blank have to say to our own Mike Conti? An exclusive one-on-one interview. You'll hear it next right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We are live at the Atlanta Boat Show. Mike's got some guy talk coming up. Some fun stuff, man, as we're having a good time down here. If you missed the live press conference today on 92.9 The Game, you can always go back and rewind it. But our own Mike Conti had a chance to visit one-on-one with Arthur Blank today, exclusively, and we wanted to let you hear some of the things that Arthur Blank had to say. Here is Mike Conti with owner Arthur Blank.
Mr. Blank, thank you very much for doing this. I want you, if you're willing, to take me back now. 1 month ago today, the Falcons have lost to the Seahawks. The record is 4-9. It's confirmed that for the eighth straight year, the team is going to miss the postseason. What were your feelings? What were your emotions on that day?
My emotions that day were the same as during the season when we had other losses and, you know, frustrations that started with the early part of the season. Not so much about me, it's about our fans and about our organization and our players, and I think we were disappointed. I certainly felt it from the community, but I felt it internally in every way as well. I think sometime during that period of time is when we began to, you know, think about the organization, what are we going to do going forward, and can we achieve at a higher level? It's an expression that, you know, good is the enemy of great, and that's what we want, is great in all of our businesses and our sports businesses and certainly the Falcons and soccer. So, you know, that's, you know, that was my feelings at the time. It was very sympathetic and understanding and walking in the same shoes our fans are.
In your book, you talk a lot about when you started Home Depot, customer feedback was really important to you. And you wrote about the Ben Hill calls that would be punched directly through to you. So I'm wondering what feedback are you hearing from your customers right now, which I would say are the Falcons fans?
Well, I think the fans currently are probably feeling like, you know, they probably feel the same way. They, Raheem and Terry are two really fine individuals. I've known Raheem for 11 years, 6 years before with Dan, and then we went to L.A. and coming back here, and Terry for the last 5 years. I mean, these are really fine folks with good values, and they work their fanny off. I think that... what they feel is that, you know, given the capacity of our players, the roster that we have on offense and defense, both young players and as well as some seasoned vets, that we should be achieving at a higher level. And I agree with them. There's a whole series of factors that go into, you know, in the NFL, why teams win or lose or whatever, you know. But I felt at the end of the day that we needed to achieve at a higher level, and we were capable of achieving at a higher level. And so we took some time and, you know, took an x-ray of the entire football side of our business, A through Z, and came up with a number of changes that we felt were appropriate to be able to compete at a very elite level. And part of that is this, you know, restructuring that we have with a new head coach, a new general manager, and a president of football. I want to be clear, it's not a president of football operations, it's a president of football. So anything that's a football and grass is going to be responsible to this person that we'll be hiring. And both the head coach and general manager report directly to that person.
Could you maybe clarify the difference between football and football operations? Yeah. Because that sounds similar to me.
Yeah, well, it's similar, but sometimes people think of operations as, well, it's the, you know, it's the administrative stuff, it's the backroom stuff, it's what have you. This is everything that impacts football, which is, you know, everything a GM does, everything a head coach does, and everything that the organization does to support the team, which is a lot of things. Includes training, includes medical, includes facilities, includes a variety of other things. So it's giving that one person the responsibility, the final say, the final responsibility on how our team is going to be visioned, how it's going to operate, who's going to be held accountable, and holding them accountable for the kind of performance that Atlanta should expect from us.
In the letter that you sent out to fans Monday morning, you took some time to address Rich McKay's role with the Falcons and the football side going forward. I'm wondering maybe if you could elaborate on that and what input, if any, in Rich's role overseeing AMBSE as CEO, what input, if any, will he have in football decisions going forward?
Well, the answer is he will not have any. Just to get to the bottom line, but the reality is that Rich has had a long, successful career with us on the football side and on a variety of other things. We moved him off the football. He was involved in building our stadium. He's been involved with soccer. He's involved with a variety of, you know, the World Cup coming to Atlanta, Super Bowl coming to Atlanta. He chairs the Metro Atlanta Chamber this coming year, which I did that for 1 year in 2002. And I can tell you that by itself is a full-time job. It's breakfast, lunch, dinners every night and series of meetings, and it represents Atlanta in the business community and politically. So he's got a very full plate. So he will not be involved in football going forward.
Has anything changed with your personal day-to-day oversight of the team? Are you at a stage right now where maybe you would like to change some of your day-to-day role? And has everything that's happened recently maybe delayed or amended those plans?
Well, I've never really had a day-to-day role. I mean, I'll continue to do the same things I've done before, which is be aware of what the team is doing, understand the vision, understand the strategy. I have an opportunity, if I can be supportive to the head coach, general manager, now the new president of football, I'll be there for that, not only resources-wise, but giving them any bit of advice or wisdom that I have based on 25 years of experience and in business beyond that, but in football. I expect to be fully supportive and take my cues from the president of football.
Your fans have been very patient And it's been 8 years since the Falcons have made the playoffs. You're now bringing in a new president of football, a new general manager, a new coach. How much more patient do you think fans need to expect to be?
Well, if I was fans, I wouldn't be very patient at all. I mean, I can tell you that sitting here talking to you, Mike, I'm not. I'm not patient, and that's, you know, one of my virtues, or you could argue it's too much of a virtue or not a virtue, but I tend to be an impatient person, and I'm pretty demanding that way, and I think our fans should expect us to move forward this year. We have the players, in my opinion. It's one of the reasons, in my view, this was frustrating as it was this year, is that I felt we could have achieved at a higher level with the players that we do have on our roster. And we look forward to building even a stronger roster going forward, and we'll hire the best head coach, the best general manager, and the best president of football that we can find.
The NFL is a very difficult league. Everyone's trying to win. Do you personally, though, have any regrets about any of the decisions that you made in the previous few years about who you put in place to be general manager, coach, or anywhere else in the organization?
Well, it's a very hard league, and it's designed that way for parity. You know, 50% of the games are decided by 7 points or less, 25% by 3 points or less, and you've got professional players and coaches on the other side as well. So it's one of the reasons come July and August, every person in America believes their team has a chance to go to the Super Bowl and compete in playoffs, et cetera, which is great for the league. But, you know, I think you make decisions at the time. It's easy to go back and look and, you know, with hindsight and put glasses on 2020, you get clarity and say, well, we should have done this, we should have done that. Obviously, we made some mistakes with this last round with Raheem and Terry, but they did a lot of good work for us as well, and that needs to be acknowledged, et cetera. And I think it's a credit to Raheem particularly, I would say, that during his last four games, that players continued to fight, play hard, fought. You know, I've been in situations where players kind of, you know, virtually they mail it in, not mail it in literally, but they're not as competitive. They're tapping themselves out of games. They're getting injured unnecessarily. They think they're injured. But, you know, we didn't have any of that. These guys fought like crazy and won the last four games, you know, and, you know, I give the players credit for that, but I give the coaching staff credit for that as well, the entire coaching staff. And I give Terry credit for that, to have the right players in the building that were able to commit that way.
Atlanta United, you're putting a tremendous amount of your personal resources into the team, the most expensive incoming player transfer before last season, and the team ended up finishing 29th out of 30 teams. What, from your perspective, went wrong?
Well, I mean, the most obvious one is that we didn't pick the right coach. I would say that, and I don't mean that in a mean way or whatever, but there wasn't a match between the players and the coach and the style of play, you know, all the things that, you know, that we all see. I think we brought back a coach who we know relates well to players. He's had a great history in Atlanta, had a great history beyond Atlanta, in Mexico and in Miami, and so... and we'll continue to churn the roster and work on it. And as our fans know, we're also seeking or interviewing for a president of soccer. And that'll be somebody at a very high level that'll oversee both Atlanta United and our new team, NWSL. That's not the name of the team. That's the name of the league. We don't have a name yet for the team.
I know you are going to be extremely busy over the next couple days and weeks. I think the listeners of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game really appreciate your opportunity to take the time and speak to them directly. So thank you very much.
Well, you know, I thank 92.9, and I thank our fans in both of the sports for their ongoing support and trust and confidence that we will produce for them, and I'm quite sure we will. So appreciation for them, and everybody have a great new year, and not only personally, but, you know, professionally in the world of sports.
There is Arthur Blank with R. Mike Conti earlier today. And as Arthur Blank spoke with the media today at the Arthur Blank Family Foundation up in Buckhead, a little bit shorter press conference than we're used to. And again, a lot of Falcon fans, I thought they were thinking they were going to hear from Matt Ryan. That process is ongoing, as is for the head coaching search and for the general manager. And matter of fact, he left the press conference to actually do an interview, whether it was a Zoom call or in person, we don't know. But I know you guys want to know, like yesterday, who these guys are going to be. We talked to Zach Klein. You can rewind on the Odyssey app, and he's pretty confident that Matt will be that guy. And then we'll see where Matt goes and what does he think about this process. More about what Arthur Blank had to say, what the Sportology people had to say at 5 o'clock, and certainly more guys and more of your reaction. We'll open up the phones later, get your take on Trey's trade to D.C., and a lot of folks feeling that the Hawks never gave him the support that they should have. And unfortunately, his legacy comes to an end here in the A. I saw a video where Trey said, still all about the A, still loves Atlanta. He's just going to play for another team. We'll come back. I got some guy talk for you. Jerry Jones is out of his mind. I don't know if he's going to start taking blood from his son, Stephen, to live to be 150, but he wants to win more Super Bowls. We'll get into that. And one of our favorite actors who now call me sir. I'll explain.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there is no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, man, shout out to Lamar, who just came up to say hi to us, who's visiting the Boat Show here at Georgia World Congress Center Hall B. We're out here with the boats, Joe, and he's a big listener, and he's about to hop on a train, get over to Doraville.
Yeah, man, it's funny because I think everybody, a lot of folks are having the same conversations about what Trey was and what he wasn't. He said, I'm arguing with my son about his Trey. Was Trey a superstar? I think Trey was a great player. I do not know.
Is.
Correct. You're right.
Not dead.
Yeah, because, right. Well, we haven't seen him this year. Right. You know, but he's not going to be an all-star this year because he's missed too many games, Mike. And but at the end of the day, I think he's a great player. I do not think he's a superstar. But he had great moments. And sometimes we get great moments confused with great players and superstar players. I think there's a difference. So anyways, he said he was arguing with his son about that.
I just think, you know, Trey, the trajectory was everything was in place for Trey to be one of the next, you know, the top 10 faces of the NBA. And for a minute, the 21, the breakout against the Knicks. When you do it on the biggest stage at the Mecca at Madison Square Garden, and that's where he did it. You know, I mean, and then to shut down the Sixers. And then, but unfortunately, what did we do? Nothing. After that, it went backwards.
Yeah.
You know, and again, did you put enough pieces around him? Guys said, what would you have done differently? I would have traded John Collins and gotten a bigger body front court. You know, I would have not let Herter go, so you got bench shooting, Carl, right? So they had a nice thing going there, but they never built on it. And then the DeJounte Murray thing, that's not Trey's fault. You know, now look, if you tell your coach you're going to commit to this plan, you have to commit to it.
You have to.
He didn't. That's when guys – I know the argument, Carl, is a bit nuanced, but look, it was a dumb plan, but if you say you're going to buy in, you got to buy in, you know, that they didn't, and it was a waste of another 2 years of Trey's career.
Yeah, man, look, I wonder when it's all – I'm talking about, like, when his career's done, how this will be viewed upon. Now, if he wins a couple of chips, it won't matter. Mm. But if he doesn't, like, so many stars – guys, you know how many stars in the NBA never won a chip? Like, I'm talking about real stars.
Oh, some of my favorite players never. Bernard King. I mean, George Gervin. I mean, we could do 3 hours on this right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Patrick Ewing. We could go through the Jazz with Stockton and Malone.
Charles Barkley.
But after it's all said and done, and if he doesn't, if he falls into that group, and maybe he was a great player and scoring records and all that stuff,
right.
I'm wondering what he'll say about his time here. And does he feel like management screwed his opportunity here like we do? Or, you know, because Mike, I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows how he feels except the fact that, you know, probably over the last few years he wanted out. I do know that. Mm. And that's why they were exploring this. But, again, they didn't have the balls to do it. And finally, Ansé Salah and this particular general manager says, yeah, we need to do this.
Right.
So, and they let him.
Right. Now, again, if you traded Trey a few years sooner, have you come to that conclusion that he isn't a right fit, you get more in return. They had to get him off the books because he could opt out. You get nothing, like Al Horford a couple of years ago. So they had to make the move. And the good news is we didn't have to give up any of our draft picks. If we do it right, again, the big if, two biggest letters, right, IF with this Hawks team, if we do it right, then we got a young nucleus. I still don't – I'm lukewarm on the Anthony. Where do you fall on that?
AD?
Yeah, where do you fall on Anthony Davis?
Look, I just think he's too hurt. And when you start talking about investing for a potential playoff run, remember the Mavs last year? I don't know if you guys remember this. He got traded, gets introduced. He's like, yeah, I'm here. And everybody's like, yeah, AD, all right, let's go. Hurt.
Right.
Like the first game.
Right. Like literally out.
The first game. So I don't even want to deal with the idea of getting my hopes up because he is a rim protector.
Right.
And when healthy, he is a top 10 player in this league. But Charles and company on you know, now ESPN.
All he does is wear a suit.
Suit. That's it.
So there you go. Hey, man. Dukes and Bell, we're live here at the Boat Show. Our Bo Johnson from the Middays from Andy Rand. He's going to be emceeing. They got a they're going to do a what do you call it? Atlanta Marine is sponsoring the cornhole game.
Cornhole?
And, you know, back home we take bags. But anyway, Carl, a cornhole game. They got one of those giant inflatable mats you float on at the lake or on the beach or on the water.
Yep.
It's pretty cool. They also got tickets for tomorrow's championship semifinal between Indiana and Oregon they're going to be giving away.
That's
so
nice.
Come on down. Speaking of bartenders, she just left her post for a shift change. How about the Zesty Zia?
Was that her name?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
She is from Colombia.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, she's super, super nice. She's been here since we got here, but I didn't know her name. I didn't get that far.
Chatted her up. I've told her about my experiences in Barranquilla and Medellin.
Oh.
You know, at Jerry's Finca.
What'd she say?
Oh, you've been to Medellin? I have. So, but anyway, Zia, very zesty bartenderess, hanging out here right outside where we are. The band's doing a really good job in the beach bar area. We are in the northwest corner.
Mike, your phone's ringing. It's Becky.
Oh, yeah. If this is anything like the New Year's Eve performance, Becky will now be here like the Flash in 3, 2, 1. What do you mean there's a Colombian bartender? Where is she? Where is she? I am married. He is married.
She'd show up right here.
Yes. It'd be like that day that lady was chatting me up on, like, boom, hi, I'm Becky. I'm Mike's wife. I'm like, and this would be Becky, my wife. So, anyway.
I've never seen you run that fast in your life.
But that's the lovely Zia.
Oh, there she is.
From Colombia.
All right. There you go.
All right. All right. So, shout out, speaking of bartenders, a good friend of ours, Zach, over at Atlantic Grill. We went over today after we did Arthur Blank's press conference.
Oh, man.
We stopped over at Atlantic Grill in one of our favorite spots over at Atlantic Station.
It is.
And Joey was working a bar. The weather guy from Channel CBS, whatever the Atlanta News thing is now, A&F was there over there.
He was. He was chilling. And then it's funny because, you know, I don't think about this, but I know when people recognize us, they want to talk sports, which I get.
Right.
But I didn't think about it. The weather dude's sitting there having lunch, and the guy walks in. He's like, what's it going to look like this weekend? I swear to God.
He did.
He swear.
He goes, well, who better to ask? Because I looked at him. I go, what, are you going to bother the weather guy on
and
his lunch
literally,
break?
Literally, the brother's eating lunch, and he's like, well, it's going to be cloudy. There is a chance of rain. I was like, do you get this everywhere you go?
I was like, hey, bro, barometric pressure, overrated or underrated? Anyway, so, yeah, that was today. But thanks to Joey, and again, shout out to Zach. Zach is normally there, one of our favorite bartenders, big listener. All right, we got some stuff for you in Guy Talk here. Falcon Talk coming up. More on Trey right here on Dukes and Bell. Jerry Jones. He answered a question the other day about, is Brian Schottenheimer going to get to choose his defensive coordinator? Jerry goes, what did Trump say? I run a Venezuela. And then, of course, everybody around him goes, like, why are you laughing at that? What are you? They'll bury it on anything other than Jerry's calling the shots. Here's Jerry, more audio, thanks to Bo, who clipped this morning, talking about wanting to live forever, basically.
My goal in life is to retire as the owner that won the most Super Bowls. That's my goal, to be retired in the NFL as the owner that won the most Super Bowls. We've got 3. How many more do I have to go as a single owner? Bob's got how many? 6? So I've got work to do. I got work to do, but at least I'm up to the second rung in the ladder.
So again,
Jerry, it's not happening.
Daddy, you need more of my blood? That's right, son. I need a transfusion. Did you watch that Netflix?
No.
That Netflix documentary? You haven't seen it yet?
No.
I was chilling G-Money and Day-Day earlier. It's called Don't Die, Brian Johnson. He was, I forget what app he designed, but he made some zillions, billions, Carl, some app on the interweb, lives in L.A., and he's basically reversing the aging process. And a lot of the Silicon Valley guys, they made fun of it in the TV series in HBO, actually find somebody from their family member matching blood type and will do blood transfusions.
That's bananas.
I know. That's what these billionaires are doing now.
So how old is this guy? What does he look like?
He's 48, and he looks like he's in his late 20s.
Wow. Okay.
And it's kind of creepy. Now, it's a little bit creepy. creepy. But if you hadn't seen it, the other night, it's again,
your whole day, though, is consumed with
correct
with supplements,
vitamins. I mean, injections, this, the experimental stuff this guy's into. I watched this. I'm like, ah, where's the joy in your life, brother? Speaking of joy, is there still joy for Travis Kelce to play football professionally? A lot of people said his body language in their last game looked like he is done in the NFL. Here's Travis Kelce talking on his podcast with his bro. Take a listen.
If my body can heal up and rest up, and I can feel confident that I can go out there and give it another 18, 20, 21 week run, I think I would do it in a heartbeat. I think right now it's just finding that answer and seeing how the body feels after this game and kind of when it all settles down.
What do you think? Think he's gone?
Yeah, look, he's got a lot to look forward to. I mean, you know, your girlfriend, her number one song was on the charts more than anybody.
Right.
I mean, like, no, I'm just saying, like, Mike, you've done it at the highest level for a long time. You're a future Hall of Famer. He doesn't have to prove anything. If he comes back, he's just coming back to say, hey, I feel like I have a little bit left. But I got to be honest, the more I watch Travis Kelce, I don't know if he's got that much left. Mm. He's not running like he used to and running the routes. And by the way, do we realize Patrick Mahomes is coming off of this injury?
Right, going to take a minute.
So, I don't know, man. I feel like when he says those things, everybody talks about letting the body heal and getting their mind right.
Right.
I'm leaning more towards him not coming back.
I think you're right about that. And he may have some involvement with WWE, you know, as far as whether announcer and maybe, you know, he takes a hit here and there, gets up in the ring.
Didn't he star in a movie? Oh, it was Happy Gilmore, right?
Right.
Yes. Happy Gilmore.
Correct. So we'll see. He's got, like, I do think studios, you know, whether it's going to be if Matt Ryan is completely out, which Zach, if you missed it, Zach Klein from Channel 2 joined us. He felt that Matt would be doing it full time as team president, would not be double dipping with CBS. That would be a spot for him if he wants to talk AFC more than NFC. But either way, on the NFL show with those guys, evident, pump some energy there. Meanwhile, one of our favorite actors, and again, Carl and I, we have these conversations sometimes about, like, recasting movies and doing a better job. I want to go back in time, and I want Bradley Cooper and Idris Elba in Miami Vice. Because I just thought that Jamie Foxx and Colin Farrell had, like, beyond zero chemistry in that movie. There was just no juice.
Yeah.
Anyway, you now call me sir. King Charles has knighted Idris Elba.
Oh, cool.
So a guy that I love everything he does. I think for those who don't know, I'm talking about Stringer back in the day on The Wire and everything else he's done well.
Stringer Bell.
Love him in Prometheus, by the way, as the captain of the ship. Love
that. Well, he's got this new – I say new. It's the second season is coming out, Hijacked.
Right.
And the first season was good. It's on Apple.
What was his British detective show that was on BBC? Yeah, he's great at everything. But anyway, Idris Elba knighted. Sir Idris Elba, he does a ton of work with teenage and children's groups in England to promote basically healthy lifestyles and also get away from gang violence and all the issues that they've got in the inner city over there in the UK. So amongst other things he's been doing. So which is pretty cool. So a big fan. Also, let's see, who else got the awards? It was Cynthia Erivo, who you know from Wicked.
Yes.
The Wicked movies.
Yes.
She's OBE. That means Order of the British Empire. So that's like the one step below. Then make a few more big movies and be a star, you get knighted.
Well, Wicked's huge.
Or she'll be Dame. She'll be Dane Cynthia Erivo.
You like Wicked? You like your kids like Wicked?
Well, I haven't seen Wicked, but have you all seen the movie? I can't think of the name of it, but this was one of the first movies I've seen her in. She was excellent, and it had Viola Davis. It was about these wives. Our guy from Taken?
Liam Neeson. I've got a very specific skill set.
He plays this husband that they thought was dead, and I think he – and then I don't want to give the movie away. I can't remember
what's
the name
the movie called?
You heard it? You know it, O?
Widows.
All right. It was good?
And she was solid. Cynthia Erivo. Right. The movie I thought was solid.
Okay.
Because the twist. I don't want to give the twist. You guys should check it out.
Don't jam it up. I still got to see Housemaid.
Yeah, you definitely got to see Housemaid.
Gotta see
that's right. She was. She was Harriet Tubman at the Harriet Tubman
that's
movie.
That's right.
Yeah, she sure. Oh, she right was on. Good in that. So
yes.
I take that back. I saw Harriet Tubman first, I think, and then I saw Widows.
Hey, they're saying, by the way, we're talking movies. Not everybody's seen it. The Oscar nominations haven't come out, but the buzz is everybody in One Battle After Another is going to get nominated, so including the daughter character.
She was great.
She was fantastic. And Benicio Del Toro and obviously Sean Penn, who's just he plays just a pure evil character. And, of course, I know you and I have talked about it. I love the movie. I just thought DiCaprio playing the spaz and like the washed up stoner is just so funny. You know, just how just what a mess he was. It was a great job.
He did. He did
pretty
a great
good.
Job.
Hey, one final note, Carl Day-Day, is it tacky for me to start a GoFundMe page so I can grab one of those Giro 40-foot boats? It's $335,000. It sleeps four. I will have to upgrade the engines. It's got just two 250s on the back. I've got to have more power than that.
Give me more power.
I'm going to take it down to Key West. But that boat is – I love that. I took the photos are up at Mike Bellito. That's the one I've been macking on. And Carl, I mean, by the way, Carl, a lot of folks say you got to name your boat.
Well, give me some suggestions and we'll do it. All right, give me some suggestions. As I said,
Put them up.
Yeah, look, but here's the deal. I want to be at the lake chilling. I don't want to be at the lake like, oh, yo, there he is.
Hey, Carl, is that your boat, Carl?
Yeah,
hey.
I don't want to be.
Hey, Carl, you want to see my wife's boobs?
I got to tell you a secret. When I am out, and there are a lot of coaches who live on Lake Oconee.
Right.
You would not know.
Right.
They don't have names on their boats. There's a reason for that. Kirby's not rolling around with Kirby Smart on his boat. Yeah. Coach K.
You said O'Leary doesn't have a boat that's called Hats on Hats.
There's a reason. Like, you wouldn't know they're out there. That's part of the allure of being out there and being peaceful. But, Mike, I hear you. Give me some suggestions. You love that one. There is one literally two rows back. Before you leave, you got to go look at this boat. But you got to take your shoes off.
Right.
They make you – by the way, if you're coming down here – those boats that you want to go in and like sleeps forward, to Mike's point, they make you take your shoes off.
Yeah, the thing is, if I take my shoes off, I got to bend
over. Somebody's going to buy that.
Well, I bend over, then I pass out. Then there's no. I'm off the show for the final hour.
So, all right. Real quick,
but it's up. I will also have to go fund
me. Suggestion: my wife's grandparents named their boat after her.
Nice,
sweet.
A lady's name.
That's sweet.
Right.
Yeah. It's got, and that's the other part. I think it's got to be a ladies.
I mentioned, you know, we were the three Stu Nods, my buddies, the cousins, Mark and Tony. But I love Sea Shenanigans. I always like that.
That's a cool name.
You know. And then, or Tally Ho, you know, because that's the Florida State reference. I don't know. We'll work on that. Anyway, guys, appreciate the love. We get a lot of texts and questions about the press conference. And, Trey, we're covering all that in the final hour of the show, Carl.
Yeah. Michael Jordan doesn't have Michael Jordan on his boat.
But that boat is fishing stupid. We saw that in Hilton. That's the same weekend we saw Mark Messier.
It is stupid.
That boat is insane.
But didn't he have the license plate, though, with, like, Jordan 23 on him all the time now?
No, he did. He had M. 23J
right.
As his license plate. But, yes, but the boat itself, like, you wouldn't know unless somebody told you it's Michael's boat.
The one was Cirrhosis of the River. Ooh. I've seen that. That's a funny one. As we said, Carl and I were joking around. Just don't be that guy like, how would you like to get in my sloop, Serendipity? My wife and I, Caroline, will be on Fidelity this weekend. It's like, come on.
Yeah, man.
Shenanigans, for crying out loud.
Hey, man, speaking of shenanigans, what did you take from the Arthur Blank presser today? I'll tell you what I thought. Mike's going to tell you what he thought. We want to know what you thought. You've had a little time to digest what he said about where this Falcons organization is headed. We're going to talk coming up in the Falcon Report.